Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Five excellent picture books reviewed, including a monster running for president and a monster who turns out to be not such a monster after all. It's the best book ever, this week. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the best book ever this week. I'm Matthew Winner, elementary school librarian, author of the Busy Librarian blog, and host of the Let's Get Busy podcast, here with five books reviewed. No script, no rehearsal, no lip service. Publishers send me books to review, and I share my thoughts with you. First up is Monster Needs Your Vote by Paul Sajak, illustrations by Wendy Grebe, and this is published by Mighty Media Kids. In this newest installment of Monster, Monster is running for president, and the platform he chooses to run on, well, let's say he's a little confused at first about what to do. Should we just have dessert for dinner? Should we have super fun things to do all the time? Well, no one really wants to stand behind that, but it turns out he finds a cause that everyone can stand behind. Unfortunately for Monster, the U.S. legal system does prohibit people, certain people, not being able to run for president. But that doesn't stop this story from being a wonderful picture book about the voting process, told through rhyme and metered text. And I think if you're familiar with the other Monster books, this one delivers just the same in such a great way that there's a strong message in a character exploring what it means to vote, exploring what it means to have your say, have a voice in something, and what it means to have people stand behind you. That's a powerful thing when we give students the opportunity to understand that their voice has power, even if it can't be the voice to make change. To have power in that voice, it's a big deal. I love this book. Monster Needs Your Vote. Book number two is One Day on Our Blue Planet in the Savannah by Ella Bailey. This is published by Flying Eye Books. In this story, we follow a cub throughout the day in the African savannah. And I love that the illustrations are so packed with beautiful animals to look at. Or maybe even more importantly, that the end papers, the front end papers, have a guide to all of the animals in the African savannah during the daytime, and there are something like 30 different animals shown in this illustration. And when you look at the back, you see the animals of African savannah at nighttime. And again, there's about 30 different animals. So just imagine all of these animals appear within the illustrations of this book. So it's really rich in that nonfiction reference point. And it does look at the way that these lions spend their time going down to the waterhole when it's very hot, looking for food. And they do, in fact, find food to bring back to enjoy as a family. I like that the story is so gently nods to all of the nonfiction elements while reading like a beautiful picture book. And as I said, I keep talking about the illustrations. I really love the illustrations. I feel like these are beautiful illustrations that belong on the wall in a library or in a child's bedroom. So that quality is something that doesn't always speak that way in a picture book. And this one, though, does immediately. So I love that. Way to go, Ella. That's One Day on Our Blue Planet in the Savannah. Book number three is How to Behave at a Dog Show by Madeline Rosenberg, illustrated by Heather Ross. This is published by Catherine Teagan Books, which is an imprint of HarperCollins Publishers. And as the name implies, the main character in our story is telling us how to behave at a dog show. Unfortunately for her, her little brother doesn't quite know how to follow the directions and ends up spraying the dog with some blue ink instead of soap. And well, really, let's just say that the antics get a little worse and a little worse as we go on, until it just is sort of this ridiculous cacophony going on at this dog show competition. But all the while, it's really wonderful. I love the way that Heather's illustrations in this story work with Madeline's text. Madeline's text is sort of guiding text, like a kid telling you, the reader, how to behave at a dog show. It's not an adult voice telling the story. It's a kid voice, and I really appreciate that, especially for all of the breaks where Julia, the main character, has to go and talk to her brother or sort of get things back on track. But the illustrations tell a lot of the story at the same time, so it really works out well. That's how to behave at a dog show. Book number four is If an Elephant Went to School. It's a story by Ellen Fisher, illustrations by Laura Wood. This is published by Mighty Media Kids. And this is just sort of a collection over these different spreads, different spread pairings of supposing what would happen if an animal went to school. What would you learn? What would you have to do? What would you do in this class or that class? Would you learn, for example, would an elephant learn the ABCs? No way! And we flip the page, and it's got this great fact about what elephants actually do learn. An elephant would learn to use her trunk as a nose, a straw, a hand, and a hose. And it goes page by page through different animals. What would an owl do in class? Do you think it would be something to do with counting? No, here's what owls really learn when they're growing up. What about a zebra or a frog or an eel or a bee? This is a really neat way to package these facts for children about what animals learn when they grow up. And in that way, we can compare it to us and to our students and to these kid readers when they think about what they learned in school compared to what these animals are learning growing up too. I think it's really nicely executed. And Laura's illustrations are vibrant in color and really, really fun to look at. Really funny to look at too. Specifically, my son loved when the skunk is spraying its spray at a would-be threatening predator. When you have illustrations that make my kid talk about the book, that is always a good thing. The final book is Max the Brave by Ed Veer. This is published by Source Books. And man, this book is about a brave cat who is going to find a mouse, because that's what brave cats do. They chase mice. And he goes one by one to all of these different animals. And they're small animals. There's a fly saying, oh, no, I'm not a mouse, but I think there was a mouse over this way. And there's these different animals that he sort of runs into where Max keeps saying, are you a mouse? And the animal says, no, I'm not a mouse, but I think mouse is over that way. And finally, wouldn't you know, Max runs into mouse, but mouse says, oh, no, I'm not. I'm not a mouse. I'm a monster. Mouse is over that way. And on the next page turn, there is a giant monster that Max encounters. But this is Max the Brave, and he encounters it in a really awesome way. And the result of the story is really charming and one that makes it very, very easy to read over and over and over and over. One of the things that also makes this book easy to read over and over is how beautiful it is to look at. The characters, for the most part, are drawn in black and white with spot illustration or with spot color on the eyes or on the background, the tree that they're standing on or something like that. So you really have this black against a beautiful colored background with just sort of one other color competing on the page. So your eyes are drawn immediately to the black spots or to the hint of color. Really neat the way that the color controls where your eyes are looking in this story, and the illustrations are just so charming and fun and sort of energetic and frantic. And again, it's one that I love to read over and over and over, and that's why I'm calling Max the Brave by Ed Veer the best book ever this week. Way to go! Well, as always, you can find the books reviewed in this episode in the episode show notes, along with the names of their authors, illustrators, and publishers. Check them out at your local library or independent bookstore. And I do hope you all have a great week.
We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.